Welcome back to another episode of the Your Biggest Fair Girl podcast. I am one of your hosts, Victoria Molle. And we have a pretty magical episode for you today. We're really excited to take you guys with us or show you what we brought back from LeakyCon 2019, Boston, LeakyCon 10. It was the 10th anniversary of LeakyCon. Yes, for sure. And you did a good job. I was about to be like, and for those who don't know,
biggest shared fandoms and one of the things that really brought us closer together, I'm really intrigued to find out about what she's learning about the Harry Potter fandom at its biggest convention.
Yes, for sure. And you did a good job. I was about to be like, and for those who don't know, LeakyCon, out of context, it is the biggest Harry Potter convention in the game. Speaking of which, we're doing something new and exciting with this episode. We're splitting it in half. We're splitting LeakyCon in half because there were just so many amazing people to interview. And it was something really interesting that happened is we would reach out to all these awesome women like, hey, we'd love to interview while we're here at LeakyCon. Would you be available? And we had several people be like, oh, hey, do you want to interview my other awesome friends who are diverse, awesome, cool, smart, female Harry Potter fans? And we're like, yeah, of course. So I ran around the convention center for 3 days in the rain, sometimes in a Hermione outfit, and interviewed six, I guess, like awesome, like groups of people. I did six interviews, but we decided we're not going to try to trim it down too much or chop it up. We're going to let these ladies speak. So we'll do three this episode. And then in 2 weeks, you can hear the other three. And you guys are definitely going to want to stick around for that as well, because we got to, well, I guess we'll say it now. We got to interview Melissa Anelli, who is one of the most iconic Harry Potter fans of all time and the CEO of LeakyCon. Yes, group effort, but because Kristen's the one who gave me Melissa's book to read. We'll get into that next episode. Just a little teaser to make sure everyone comes back in 2 weeks. But in the meantime, we have so much to talk about with these ladies we're about to introduce you to, but also just the convention in general. I think I mentioned way back that I had never been to a fandom-specific convention before. So this was really exciting for me. I love a theme. So I actually kind of liked and embraced the experience of having everything just be about Harry Potter. In some ways, I wished that I'd brushed up on my Harry Potter fandom a little bit going in. And it was funny because my coworkers were like, oh, how was the Harry Potter convention, Tori? And I was like, oh, it's very interesting to be in an environment where I was not the most enthusiastic or passionate fan. And not that that's a bad thing. I love it. I find it liberating because I often feel like I'm too much. People are citing these things and I was like, oh my God, I have so many blind spots. I don't remember when that happened. Like, I need to brush up. But then at the same time, LeakyCon is a very welcoming environment. They really go to great extremes to make it a safe space for everyone. So even though personally my type A self was like, oh, you definitely should have reread these books, I still felt like a Harry Potter fan of like any level of enthusiasm would find something at LeakyCon.
I think that's so great to hear because I feel like I've always been apprehensive about going to LeakyCon, like, which is weird to say as like a major Harry Potter fan, right? But I think it was kind of like part of that. Like, well, what if I'm not quite up to par with these other fans? Or, you know, am I going to get my fan card revoked because I don't know this particular piece of trivia or like I haven't reread The Goblet of Fire as frequently as others? And like, it's almost like an irrational fear, I guess, as a fan, maybe because it can be so stigmatized. But at the same time, like, I have never seen anything but inclusiveness and fans just being welcome of fellow fans, no matter what their level, like, across all the conventions that I've been to. So I'm kind of like, why haven't I made this jump to go to LeakyCon? And I think it's, like, seeing your stories and the little tidbits of what you told me about it, and even just from your photos, I'm just like, how come I'm not there? Like, I need to be there. I need to get on the next plane. No, I'm already planning for next year.
I felt the same way. I was like, where is Kristen? Wait, guys, has anyone seen Kristen? Why isn't she here? That's so weird. But I actually don't think your fear is that irrational. I think there is this culture in fandom, and it's not just the Harry Potter fandom. I think it's kind of fandom in general. And I think we feel it twice as much as women, where if we say we're a fan of something, we're always expecting like a quiz about it. And we've talked about extensively on this podcast, there's a lot of gatekeeping in fandom. And then when you have like the most voracious fans of something in one space, like I actually don't think it's that irrational to be like, oh no, is there going to be a fandom owl I have to pass?
Yeah, like it's definitely hard to unlearn all of that, I think.
For sure. But LeakyCon does a good job in helping you because the programming is so diverse. It's super easy to kind of like tailor your experience or get a little bit of everything. And then also like no one cares. Like one of our guests on this episode, Olivia Dolphin, did this awesome panel about Marietta Edgecombe, who if you guys don't remember, because I sure didn't.
I could have helped you out there.
She is in the Order of the Phoenix and she basically rats out Dumbledore's army. But it was this incredible deep dive into that character and the circumstances around it and into Hermione's role in it and the politics and how aware of the politics she was. And like, again, I walked into that being like, I forget who Marietta Edgecombe is, but no one was mad at me. I enjoyed the discussion fully. And then there's also, this is a great opportunity to talk about some of my favorite panels. But then there were panels like You Can Choose Your Own House, which was very liberating for me. And just a discussion how that's okay and how we got real deep. It was the first panel my friend Jerrica and I went to. Also, major shout out to my dear friend Jerrica, who was basically my production assistant and moral support all weekend. That was our first panel on Friday morning. And we just went so deep into the Sorting Hat and how sentient it is. And we came up with all these weird headcanons by the end of the panel. That's kind of like a kind of general thing. But then you can go super deep. Or another panel that I really loved going to was Bored Theorizing for Witches and Wizards After Dark. So basically, I came in halfway because I was doing an interview. And so I just got to all like the sex stuff, which was awesome. And it was just so funny. It really truly felt like a safe space because I felt like it was things that we always kind of were like, well, I mean, if you didn't have these magic abilities or you had access to these certain things, like, wouldn't you have maybe? It was just fun and like everyone just felt like open and safe and it was done with humor and everyone could just laugh and also then get like really, really specific about kind of naughty Harry Potter stuff. It was this amazing spectrum of fandom and different ways to express your fandom. It was also, as you can tell, the most panel programming I have ever done at a convention. I think because I was there for 3 whole days. Usually when I go to conventions, I'm also working. I'm scouting talent and meeting with people. And since Harry Potter is a very already taken property, that was not present. And so I could just do interviews every now and then and just have a blast and take in everything there was to take in at the convention. I also think Jerrica is a Ravenclaw. So she's like, okay, so we're going to all these panels. And I was like, okay, like, cool.
I can confirm that is a Ravenclaw trait.
Very Ravenclaw trait. There was I keep saying a Yule ball, but it was called the Esther Earl ball. There was a dance, which was super fun. We met some really awesome guys from New Jersey in their house kilts. They, one had a Gryffindor kilt, one had a Slytherin kilt, and we danced the night away with them, which was awesome. I mean, the cosplay was amazing. Even though, you know, there's only one fandom that's being cosplayed, I was wowed by the variety and the different takes on every character and like every variation of Harry Potter. And I think that's also why I think LeakyCon is a great con, even though it is fandom specific, I'm sure you experienced this with Star Wars Celebration. Like the universe, the wizarding world is so vast and diverse and deep that you don't get bored with it. So that was super fun. And then there was like the marketplace, which I guess is like their artist alley in a way. And that was super cool. And then by far the best booth in the marketplace was the Golden Snitch Witches booth. And if you're like, what did you just say? I will explain. So I don't know if anyone's heard of the very famous wizard rock band, Harry and the Potters.
Oh, that was them.
They have a booth where they sell Golden Snitch Witches, which are peanut butter and golden graham sandwiches for $3. And then you can pay an extra dollar and they will mold it into the shape of a golden snitch for you. And so I saw this booth. I was like, what is going on here? It's like sky blue and has like big, like a huge snitch on it. And Joe and Paul are in these awesome like yellow jumpsuits. And so they, I remember the first time I went, he's like, you want me to mold it into a golden snitch for you? And I was like, obviously. And I don't know. I guess I thought there was going to be like a cookie cutter situation, but he literally just like smushed the sandwich. And I was like, fantastic. And then he asked me, do you want me to throw it at you so you can catch it in your mouth like Harry Potter did when he played Quidditch?
Only at a Harry Potter convention.
Only at a Harry Potter convention. And I was like, oh, I was Insta-storying it. So I was like, no, that's okay. However, we know that I love food and I love gimmicks. So obviously I went back on Sunday in my Hermione Gryffindor outfit. And then they were like, do you want to catch it in your mouth? And I was like, yeah, I'm ready. And so we have video of it. I had an audience, which we all know I love. And I caught a golden snitchwitch in my mouth. And it was the highlight of my convention, if not life up until this point. Kristen, when you get ready for LeakyCon Orlando in July, we'll do some hand-eye coordination exercises for you. All right, so that's just like a little taste of all the awesome magical madness that happened at LeakyCon. I think it's now time for us to introduce you to some of our wonderful guests, don't you think, Kristen?
Yes. So our first guest is Christine Chapman. She serves as the Programs Director of Uplift, Online Communities Against Sexual Abuse. Uplift is a nonprofit dedicated to combating sexual abuse in online communities through education and advocacy. They work to ensure that these flourishing communities are safe for millions of people and connect with them by offering toolkits for convention organizers, partnering with platforms, and creating campaigns like Facebook.
We are here with Christine Chapman from Uplift here at LeakyCon. So Christine, we always like to start our interviews, especially our LeakyCon interviews, by asking our guests, what does being a Harry Potter fan mean to you?
For me, I think being a Harry Potter fan is a combination of taking the love and appreciation we had for the books and films as kids, as teenagers, the feeling of, you know, going to a midnight release and all of that, combined with the fandom aspects. So really, for me, the Harry Potter fandom was one of the first places where I learned it's okay to be excited about things and to really express that. And to me, that's what being a Harry Potter fan means.
That's fantastic. So consent is a complicated issue in the wizarding world. Just to start, look at love potions. How do you use Harry Potter or other fandoms to talk about the issue of sexual violence in a real way that kind of applies to our lives here in the Muggle world?
I think what's great about books or films or any kind of media that we consume is that the concept in a story is a great way to get the conversation started. So whatever your age is, whatever your level of familiarity with these concepts, when you can kind of relate to a character, that can help really bring this about. So I think with kids, I like to really start conversations about, you know, maybe some of the content they like and ask questions about that and use that as an opportunity to start that. And I think for teens or adults or anyone else, I like to really, yeah, challenge and kind of think about whether it's love potions or other elements of books and series we like, and think about what does that mean both in the book and what does that kind of mean for our society, both how do we see that playing out in our society, but also how do we internalize some of the concepts we learn from media and how does that kind of create a cyclical nature where the media we consume controls what we think and then what we think is, you know, affecting the media.
For sure. So how do you reconcile loving the wizarding world when you also have to reckon with the darker aspects of it and the more problematic aspects of it?
Definitely. I think that, you know, really liking something and being excited about something should not mean that you support something unconditionally or you don't challenge it. And I think that applies to almost everyone, whether it's like relationships in our lives or things that we support. And I think that for me, I think supporting the Harry Potter community is challenging it to be really the best that it can be. And same with the books. I think we should call out or ask questions about the things that are concerning and really, you know, try to make our fandom and our community something that stands for what is right, just like we learned in the books.
And that is a beautiful, unintentional segue into our next question for you. How can fans of Harry Potter strive to make the fandom a safer and healthier place when it comes to these issues?
Absolutely. I think, well, at conventions like LeakyCon, I think is a great reminder of that. I think we can all, for all of our communities, really advocate for safe policies. So for example, like code of conducts at conventions like LeakyCon, which LeakyCon has, or whether it's like Facebook groups we're a part of, Tumblr communities, Twitch forums, whatever it is, if we can advocate for community guidelines and for kind of policies where we're not tolerating harassment, we can all be bystanders and kind of speak up, report things, whether it's to the platform or to administrators. And I think that it's also kind of encouraging these hard conversations within the Harry Potter community, both about the books themselves, but also about our communities. I think large communities like Harry Potter have power dynamics, whether it's people who are leaders in the community in a variety of ways. And even if someone doesn't consider themselves a celebrity or anything like that, they do have power. And so I think it's challenging people to understand that power they have in any community and to learn how to treat that appropriately and to like learn from that and work to make these communities safe as leaders.
And I just have to say, I was able to go to your panel today, which was talking about rape culture in the Wizarding World. So another great example of using your power, influence in a fandom community to raise awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes when we've done versions of that panel, we've even talked about how does that apply in the Harry Potter communities. And Uplift was actually founded out of, in 2014, a lot of kind of Me Too type of stories that were coming forward about people who are in prominent positions in fandom communities. And so, yeah, I think it's important to have these panels and also to continue having these conversations both within the community and to leaders of the community to make sure that these special places remain safe for everyone.
Fantastic. So we always wrap up our interviews by playing a Would You Rather game. So we picked one of our Harry Potter questions for you because you're already tackling sexual violence in fandom. So we want to know, if an evil supervillain were to take over the world, would you rather have to take down Lord Voldemort or Emperor Palpatine?
That's a really tough one. I would probably pick Voldemort. I think that something that's talked about a lot in the book 7 is like the power of love and the way that like that is the way to combat that. And I think that that is something that as a fandom and as individuals, I think a lot of Harry Potter fans have really embodied. And I think that that's probably what I would pick. Yeah.
Because you know how to beat him.
Yeah.
All right. It has been so wonderful talking with you, especially about Uplift and its mission. Where can we find you on social media and support all the awesome work that Uplift does?
Great. So Uplift is at Uplift Together on all social media, and you can also find us at uplifttogether.org.
I really loved talking to Christine because we've discussed on this podcast before about problematic faves and how to healthily and productively address problematic elements in your fandom. And I think Uplift does a really good job of acknowledging that and also taking lessons and themes from books like Harry Potter and using them to make the fans advocates themselves and not just being able to recognize that, hey, love potions are like super not cool. And that's reflective of date rape drugs, maybe in the muggle world, but also just within the fandom, increasing this awareness. Like I said in the interview, I got to go to her Rape Culture in the Wizarding World panel, and I found that super, super illuminating. And it's funny, it was in the same room as the weird, like naughty one. Again, it just shows the spectrum and also just like the versatility and I guess like maturity of Harry Potter fans. Like we can all have a giggle, but then when things need to get serious, we can have a discussion about these sorts of things. For sure. Speaking of the internet, our next guests are the two awesome fangirls behind Fanatical Fix and Where to Find Them, which is a Harry Potter podcast where hosts Sequoia and Kim read the craziest, funniest, and most outlandish fan fiction they can find. Delving through the likes of fanfiction.net and Archive of Our Own, they strive to recapture a time long past by bringing back stories written 10 or more years ago, as well as recommending one of their favorite fics every episode. All right, we are here with Sequoia Thomas and Kim Harris from the Fanatical Fix and Where to Find Them. Ladies, can you each tell me your name and your title?
I'm Sequoia Thomas, and I co-host and co-produce the Fanatical Fix and Where to Find Them podcast.
I'm Kim Harris, and I also co-host and shitpost on Fanatical Fix and Where to Find Them.
I'm definitely the shitposter in my podcast duo. It's important to get those roles sorted. What does being a Harry Potter fan mean to you?
I've been a Harry Potter fan my whole life, it feels like. And to me, it's defined a lot of who I am as like a human being moving morally throughout the world. And also, a lot of the friendships I've made, I wouldn't have made without it. So being a Harry Potter fan to me is like, it's who I am.
I loved the books as a kid. And they really did kind of give me a moral lens growing up, but I did kind of leave the fandom later, and at this point I am kind of along for the ride, and it's been such a wild and great ride that I am just so stoked to be here.
We're stoked to have you specifically on our podcast to talk about Harry Potter. What was your first exposure to Harry Potter fan fiction, and how did that lead you to developing a podcast about it?
I've been writing Harry Potter fan fiction since I was 9 years old. That was, I guess, my first exposure to it was before I even understood it conceptually as like a thing people did. It was just a thing I did in my stupid notebooks, you know, when my handwriting of a 9 year old, like very bad, very bad. And then I was exposed to it, you know, when my family got a computer and like we had the internet and everything was great. And I went on the internet and I was like, oh my God, we're all doing this here. This is amazing. And that kind of, I mean, it instilled in me a love of fan fiction, like a lifelong love of fan fiction, which I feel like has led to this podcast, but also just like us being friends.
Has led to this podcast?
That's true. When I was younger, I wasn't super into fan fiction because I didn't think that it respected canon enough. But I did really like role-playing on the Neopets forums. So I did a lot of that when I was younger. And then I really liked kind of like parody of bad fan fiction when I was like in my early teens. But one of the reasons we started this podcast, I guess, is because, goodness gracious, like 10 years ago, when Sequoia and I were living together in college, we built a blanket fort in our living room and spent a few evenings finding the most disturbing fan fictions on the internet and reading them to each other and just laughing. And also reading Sequoia's weird-ass fan fiction. Mm. And that was such a fun moment that was kind of like a really good bonding moment for us. And then a few years later, we were like, wait, but what if we made a podcast? Yeah. And did that. Mm-hmm. Forever.
Oh, geez.
And now you're here.
We can do it forever. We could.
With a fandom like Harry Potter, there is enough. And that's so funny because the friend I'm with at LeakyCon, that was like an important bonding moment in our friendship, was like looking for the crackiest pairings on fanfic.net. I wanted to ask you ladies too about why did you decide on a comedic tone when discussing fanfic? Do you find it helpful in reducing shame that can surround fanfiction, especially about a fandom as broad and as deep as Harry Potter?
I don't think we could have done a straight serious podcast. We are silly people.
It's honestly just like who we are and how we communicate. We're like a constantly laughing type of human.
Yeah.
So it lends itself to how we communicate. But we also, at the end of every episode, we recommend a fan fiction we love.
Something we've found in our search for silly stuff or just something we've read that's been recommended to us. That's really good. We do love fan fiction.
We love fan fiction. Like, we don't feel shame in loving fan fiction. We love the silly stuff that we read on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We wouldn't do it if we didn't love it.
Yeah. There's something that we delved into a little bit on a couple episodes of our podcast talking about, like, why we were doing it and what we like about fan fiction, where we were like, you know, there is some really silly, bad fan fiction, and there is some really wonderful fan fiction. And you can't love fan fiction if you don't love both of those things about it. Like, you can't love it if you don't love all of it.
I love almost all of it.
Yeah. I mean, except for, like, the, like, genuinely problematic stuff. But, like, which exists. There's genuinely problematic fan fiction. But, like,
I think it's also interesting to kind of criticize that and look at it critically while you're reading it. Maybe not read it on our podcast, because yikes.
Yikes, 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 yikes.
But I think it's fun to engage critically with any media, and fan fiction lends itself to that because there's such a variety of voices in it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So I do have to ask, because I'm talking with the fanatical fic girls, what is both of your favorite Harry Potter crack fic?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. I don't know. You really I love Harry Potter's communist.
Well, okay. That one is just amazing. The dedication that person had to their work just inspires me.
Yeah.
That this fic is written over the course of 4 years, is like over 100 chapters long. It's amazing.
It's a full-length novel.
Of crack.
Of crack.
Of Harry yelling about the bourgeoisie. It's amazing.
Yeah. Just like, wow, what an incredible human being to have put that together. I don't know that I could pick a favorite crack fan fiction, but my favorite crack pairing that I've found so far
has definitely been Salazar Slytherin slash Cedric Diggory in the afterlife. Who, like, so I want to meet that person who wrote that fanfiction. Oh. I want to shake their hand because, like, the fanfiction is fine, but, like, the idea, that idea occurred to them at all is creatively amazing, and I want to know them.
We talked about this before. You weren't sure it's crack, but we did this one where Cormac McLaughlin has sex with every broom at Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And that's...
I still that's, not sure that the
okay,
technically
did
is...
you hear the words that I just said? That's crack.
It is one of our most notorious episodes, I would say.
Yeah. That's episode 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to that.
Would you rather read an alternate universe fanfic where Harry Potter is a squib or an AU where he's a dark wizard?
Ooh.
Dark squid? Dark wizard squid?
Squid?
Squib.
Squib?
Squib.
Okay, I got squids on the mind. We're talking
she
about crack.
Knows too much squid fic, and I just. Okay, I would say a dark wizard. Because in the event that Harry's a squib, he just like.
I think that's kind of interesting. Like, you have this person that you think is the savior of the wizarding world, and it turns out they're not magical. I think that could go in a really interesting direction.
Mm.
I think I would pick that one.
I think I would pick Dark Wizard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Both sides of the coin. I love it. I also love Dark Squib. We've never gotten that answer. Please write that. Ladies, this has been so much fun chatting with you. Where can we find you two on social media and find your podcast and support all the fun stuff you do?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Fanatical Fix.
And we are on the Apple Podcast Store, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, Fanatical Fix, and Where to Find Them, colon, a Harry Potter fanfiction podcast.
Or you could just search Fanatical Fix because that is easier and will still get you to the correct place.
What are you talking about?
Thank you guys so much.
Ebony Darkness Dementia Raven Way. My Immortal.
My Immortal. Yeah. My Immortal fanfic. Sorry. I'm like, you could easily make fun of Harry Potter fanfiction in general, but I think what's really exciting is that they can like also celebrate and just have fun with it because fanfiction is just a fun thing to do.
It's supposed to be creative. And I think there's also this aspect of there is some crazy stuff out there. So just write the fanfic you want to write. Calling attention to the ridiculousness of it makes it less scary and kind of more open for everyone.
Fantastic. We were lucky enough to have another awesome duo as our next guest, Poet and Olivia. These two ladies have both worked for LeagueCon in the past and have parlayed their experience into cool careers. Roma Kozla is an entertainment reporter who has written about Harry Potter professionally for the Michigan Daily, Teen Vogue, Glamour, and in her current job at Mashable. She's also a dancer and has worked on Star Kids of Harry Potter sequel. Olivia Dolphin has worked as a copywriter and runs a literary magazine called Wizards in Space that grew out of the LeagueCon community.
I am so excited to be here with Paroma Kosla and Olivia Dolphin. Ladies, can you tell us your names and introduce yourselves real quick?
I'm Paroma Kosla. I'm an entertainment reporter for Mashable. I also used to work on the staff of LeagueCon doing social media, different creative stuff, and volunteer coordination in the past. I've been going to Harry Potter conventions since I was 15 years old because I've been in this fandom since I was a teen, since whenever I figured I could like boot up my computer and explore theories and stuff online with everyone, and I'm so excited to be here.
I'm Olivia Dolphin. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Wizards in Space Literary Magazine, which is a way for fans to tell their own original stories. It's so fun to play in the Harry Potter world and the Wizarding world, but we also have stories and experiences that deserve to be uplifted too. So we publish all different things like fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and it's just a way for people to get their voices heard, which is awesome. I've also been in the fandom for too long.
Olivia met at a convention in 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been friends
since then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also used to work on staff doing volunteer coordinating. I used to work for a company called Alex and Ani, which has a Harry Potter collection. And now I'm a UX content strategist. It's funny where Harry Potter can take you.
No, for sure. That's something we actually want to dive into with you two. But we usually like to start our interviews by asking, what does being a Harry Potter fan mean to you?
Being a Harry Potter fan to me, especially since going to conventions and doing that at such a formative time in my life, has really meant, obviously, like just exploring the themes from the books about social justice and about love conquering everything has been huge and just like such a great positive presence and message to have kind of guiding me through life for such a long time. But also over time, it's become, and I'm sure Olivia will agree because we've both done a lot of this, it's become like kind of bringing the best version of yourself out. And like who I am at conventions for a long time was like who I wanted to be in real life. Like I wanted to be able to be comfortable going up to random strangers and introducing myself, or like not being afraid to like yell a funny comment out in a room or something like that, like be a little more obnoxious maybe than I was in my more introverted real life. And then I realized that I could, and through working with LeakyCon, through coming to conventions for a long time, meeting people here and just finding this comfort, I was like, oh, actually that can be my life. And then going out into the world and talking about things with authority, talking about Harry Potter, sort of being my best witch self out there, that's what it's become. And so when I come here, it's great to touch base and to be in that environment, that community again, but also to know that like I've been working really hard to make this my real life every day. And hopefully it'll be like that. It'll just be like the living in the wizarding world all the time.
I totally agree with all of that. And to build on it, there's a real like DIY culture that was born from the early days of the fandom. So anybody that wanted to like write music about Harry Potter like kind of just figured it out. And it was a way for people to pick up an instrument and learn it, or start writing poetry or writing fan fiction. And now people that write fan fiction have kind of blossomed into, you know, writers of their own original stories and things like that. So for me, being a Harry Potter fan means that I can do anything I put my mind to. And this community, specifically with the fans, have shown me and taught me that you can do anything. Then there's resources online. I feel like the Harry Potter fandom tapped into the power of the internet like really quickly. And I've carried that with me through my career, through my life, the way I meet my friends, the way I community build, and the way I run my business and my like programming and things like that. It's all based on you can do anything.
I think if you look at both of us too, like 5 years ago probably, when we were working together as volunteer coordinators, and we've been like, I think we've been closer since we started working together, and then obviously beyond No Problem, like Olivia's someone who I talk to every day, and that 5 years ago, this looked very different. Like we were involved, we were in the community, we knew people really well, but then we started kind of just being like, wait, what if we do this? And we're talking about this literally on the walk over here right now. It's that a lot of stuff we hadn't done, like programming, like speaking on panels and stuff, we didn't do for a long time, not because we didn't want to or because no one let us, but because it just hadn't occurred to us. It's like, hey, I've been in this fandom for a long time talking about, you know, you're about to talk about Marietta Edgecombe in your next panel. Like we've been doing that in private. We text each other about it all the time. Why don't we just put a microphone to it and talk about it? Because we are the people who have been in the space long enough, we know what makes sense to do here, and then like we are the experts in our field, kind of.
That's amazing. Both of y'all's answers are so illuminating and a great segue into we have a couple individual questions for each of you. So Olivia, you've, as you talked about with Wizards in Space, you've really fostered a community that empowers fans to create their own original works. Why was it important to you to take all the inspiration and creativity that a fandom, you know, like Harry Potter can generate and harness it into new works by the fans?
Oh, what a thoughtful question. I think for me, it was about watching people say, I wish I could do that. I wish, I wish, I wish. And it's like, you can. And you see people like sitting in corners and sitting down, and like these friendships that are fostered between people in the community and sharing their stories and sharing ideas. Like I wanted to give like a structured space to that, because just walking by people and like watching these relationships form was incredible. And one of the things too that I wanted to do was show people in this community that often come here because they feel found here and they feel lost other places, and I wanted to give them, you know, structure to that, but I wanted to show them that their work has value and their voice has value. And so we actually pay writers and comic artists and anybody that we publish in the book is paid like real money, like you get a check. Like real money.
What a concept.
So they get real money, and then the staff gets paid, and I do my best to really show people that, like, there's a monetary value for this, or a trade value, if you want to partner with other people. Like, yeah, so I just wanted to show people that their stories have value, and it's really, like, the energy of the fandom that drives that forward.
That's amazing. Paroma, we wanted to ask you about what was your experience being part of a subculture of the Harry Potter fandom with Team Starkid?
That has been so cool, and I do think that's been a big part, because Starkid has been around now for also 10 years, to kind of grow with that present and with that fandom connection while also being in fandom longer. So I actually joined Starkid as a fan. Like, I had already seen the Harry Potter musical, and I was starting at Michigan that fall. So I was like, whoever made a Harry Potter musical sounds like people I should be friends with when I get to campus. I ended up being involved with their next production, like, that fall. Like, it was within 6 months of me seeing a Harry Potter musical, I was working on their next show, and I was like, whoa. It was also, I just never had that kind of agency. Like, I just took the initiative, and I was like, I want to do this. I like theater, I like musicals and Harry Potter. I met a few of them at the convention that summer, and then I actually did it, and I was kind of, I think I was a little taken aback by, like, my own power over my own life to do that. But then it was great, because the expertise that I brought there was, like, connecting, like, with Starkid at conventions and all of that. I was like, this is my world. It's like, welcome to my world. Here's what I know about it. And then over 10 years, even if I only see them, like, once a year at a convention, it's become this, like, moment of, like, a familiar face. Kind of, like, a comforting thing, too, where I was like, oh, like, we know each other. We worked on shows in the past. Like, I'm a connection to your college life and to your professional life, even if fandom scene can be a little overwhelming. And then for fandom, it was like, here's the thing that we love, like, and I got to be part of it and then work on it. It's been wild, and I think it's been really helpful to my real job now as well, which, to being an entertainment reporter, which was, you know, when I met these people, they were celebrities to me. They were internet celebrities who I'd seen online, and I was, like, kind of starstruck. And very quickly, and this had happened in the fandom otherwise, too. It happens with, like, Wizard Records and stuff, where there's someone who, because of the way that screens work, right, our brains aren't wired to be friends with someone through a screen, a one-sided relationship. That's not something that ever existed before the past several decades, and the internet has made it so much more kind of confusing. But then we meet them, you know, like, you can go buy a sandwich from your favorite Wizard Rocker here, and it's fine, and they
blew my mind.
Yeah. That is a big part of why they started doing that, is to kind of break down that wall between, like, oh, I am a fan of you and you're someone unreachable. Because it's not, like, no one here is Brad Pitt. Like, we can, no disrespect to people here or to Brad Pitt, but there doesn't need to be that division between the fans and the creators that they admire. So then joining Starkid, working with them, knowing with them, helped me kind of face my relationship with that kind of phenomenon. And then it was just a crash course in, like, internet celebrity culture. And to this day, like, I went out there to help them in LA for Starkid Homecoming, and I know how fans can react. Like, so sometimes, like, someone went to meet their friend during intermission and was just gonna go, I was like, I'm gonna come with you because no one's gonna be mean. No one's gonna try to get in your way or anything, but they will want to talk to you and take a photo with you and just, like, have a moment. And I was like, if you want to go meet your friend before tomorrow, I'm just going to come with you. And it's been great. It was definitely a crash course in internet celebrity culture that has been useful in my real life and just taught me a lot.
Well, that's actually the perfect transition into the next question we wanted to ask both of you, which is, you've both been able to work with LeakyCon and all these other facets and transmute your passion for Harry Potter into your profession. So what was that journey like? I know, Paroma, you talked about a little bit with respect to Starkid, but what was it like for both of you, and what would you recommend to other fans hoping to do something similar?
So we used to do these panels called Put Fandom on Your Resume, and I think that is, like, a key piece of the advice, is that knowing, like, the work you do in an online community can translate to real world skills. So if you're working with a social media team, or you're building a content calendar, or you're working on, you know, a website, or you're volunteering at an event, like, you can say those things. Like, I volunteered 10 hours at a convention that had, you know, 5,000 people at it for 3 days, and I learned a ticketing system, and I learned customer service skills. And you can push it into that space where, like, for us, it's like, I'm gonna go run around a hotel and talk about Harry Potter for 3 days and dance and sing and talk about this thing that I love. But if you peel that layer off, there's all these, like, interpersonal soft skills, hard skills that we're learning. So for me, it was like, I wanted to take those skills and put them in my real life. So working at Alex Knight, I also say the best way to let people know that you like Harry Potter is to talk about Harry Potter, which is,
yep,
really easy.
Be the Harry Potter girl.
Yeah. So at Alex and Ani, when they, I was like always kind of dropping hints. I was like, you ever think about partnering with Warner Brothers? Or like, I saw that we were like partnering with like DC. And then I was like, yo, like they own Harry Potter too. Like dig into that partnership. And so when they did finally get a licensing deal with Harry Potter, like it was, there was nobody else that did my job that was also involved in Harry Potter. So it was a really amazing way to take my copywriting skills and take my Harry Potter skills and just put them all together. And I say own it. If you want to be a Harry Potter expert, put it in your Twitter bio.
Yeah.
And then it's real. Mm-hmm. You're a real expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say pursue the things you love and know your worth. Olivia and I have talked about this a lot. It's, if you are the expert on something, that's fine. Make it known. Like you said, if you like Harry Potter, talk about Harry Potter. No one is going to come and ask you to do a Harry Potter panel or something if they don't know that about you. Like, I pursued Starkid because I was like, I'm also like, I like theater and performance. If I could sing, I would have asked them to perform a long time ago or like tried to audition, but I truly cannot sing. For a long time, we didn't do stuff in fandom because we just didn't know. And I think that that's, once you figure it out, it's fine. It's never too late. Bring up the ideas that you have. Put the things you love together. That is a really fun thing to do. StarKid is great at that. They're just like, hey, we love Star Wars. We love making musicals. Let's put them together. And they're also really great at working with their friends, which is a tough balance, which a lot of us, everyone will have to face probably at some point in their life, like the personal, professional boundary. It's really difficult, but it's so gratifying when you can get it right. So figure out those nuances. Every time you do something like this, you learn from it, and it's going to get better every time. Just know your worth, do what you love, get better at it.
I think, too, my last piece of advice would be, like, be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because it's scary to do a panel. It's hard the first time in, like, or to read a poem in an open mic, but, like, the more you do it, the more you get familiar with being uncomfortable. And it's not that that feeling ever goes away. It's more that you're, like, used to it. So I really recommend making yourself feel as uncomfortable as possible.
Yeah, we take public speaking, I feel, almost for granted now, because like, we do it so much when we come here. I'm like, yeah, I'm great at this. How many thousand people? I don't care.
And so our last question for you two, would you rather see an alternate universe where Harry is a squib or an AU where he is a dark wizard?
I'm just so interested in both of these, like, from a narrative perspective, like...
I can't believe my brain hurts so bad.
The writer and, like, TV fan in me went to, like, I would just want to see both versions. Okay, so okay. I'm just going to lay these out. I'm not indicating a preference yet. I did read an AU where Harry was... not a squib, but he wasn't the chosen one.
Oh, interesting.
But it was just like, he was like a normal wizard and his parents and Sirius and everyone was alive, but Neville was the chosen one, so like sucked for Neville.
That's so interesting. I love that.
A squib? Ugh,
I just don't
too
know
far.
If we would get the same story if he was a squib, right? Assuming that the story starts where we join the story.
I think if he were a squib, he would still be living like happy with his parents though. Like he wouldn't be any the wiser. Oh no, he'd be squib because they'd be wizards and he'd be sad.
I don't know.
I guess Harry being sad is better than him being a dark wizard and murdering
I guess,
loads
I,
of people.
Yeah, sad Harry. I think I'd choose dark wizard.
From a narrative standpoint, that's more interesting
it's
to watch.
It's more interesting. I choose dark wizard. I think sometimes, and I'm wondering if the next Star Wars movie is going to explore this at all, is like we don't really see people like truly turn over into the dark side or whatever, and I don't think that that's an accurate depiction of real life. I think people do fall victim to power structures and just being sucked into something because they think it's better for them, and I think a true exploration of what it means to be seduced by different opinions and different thoughts from your own that aren't
necessarily good. Oh, so you see like the Harry that we knew in the first few books, like that then getting kind of turned in the
right.
other direction as he's
yes.
older. Oh, that's very interesting.
I would really like, maybe not with Harry Potter, but with an exploration of that. So
as an audience member, I agree with you. If it were just, we're talking about like Harry and his life, like I want him to be happy and then he could be a squib, but he would still be a little down, but less people would die.
So there's that. Before we go, where can everyone find you on social media and support your work?
Okay, so there's a couple different places for me. So as Olivia Dolphin, you can find me at LividoL, LIVIDOL, and that's on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm also a poet, so I post a lot of my own poetry on Instagram. And then for Wizards in Space, you can find us at Wizards in Space Mag, pretty much everywhere. So our submissions should be open.
And if not, they'll open up again.
Or they'll open up again, but like anybody out there that's a writer and listening and want your story told, send it our way. We'll pay you for it if we like it. Yeah. So that's where to find
us. And if you're not a writer, just read it because there's such good writing in there. It's really impressive. Awesome. And I think I'm everything. I'm Proma What Up, PROMA, and then What Up spelled normally. I'm also a dancer and I have a production company called Lion Party Films. Oh yeah, I have a website too, promacosta.com.
Thank you so much,
ladies. Thank you so much.
Those two were so awesome to talk to. They were my first interviews at the convention because they are two awesome ladies doing the most, making the most of their Harry Potter fandom and really championing the skills that they've learned from fandom and just learned from going to LeakyCon and the things they've discovered about themselves by being a fan and have applied them to their lives, which is so inspirational. Kicking my interviews at LeakyCon off with them really demonstrated to Kristen and I that we had to have this as a two-parter because there is just so much value and so much to learn from all of these people. So we were like, there's too much good stuff. We can't cut it down. It has to be a two-parter.
Considering we also strive to be a resource for all of you listeners out there, like, we want to make sure that you get all the greatest advice, words of wisdom, and just voices across all these different fandoms,
especially Harry Potter. So in the meantime, before next episode, which is episode 50, by the way, make sure you have subscribed to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. We're on most podcatchers. And leave us a rating and review because we've somehow made it to 50 episodes. But we are always looking to grow and serve our audience better, serve our listeners better. And of course, you can find all of our episodes and links to our social media and links to our guest social media and all the amazing things that they work on our website, yourbiggestfangirl.com. Mischief managed.
Our theme song is California Lullaby Instrumental by Josh Woodward, used under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.